Vice President Farnsworth graduated from Brigham Young University with a Master of Accountancy degree shortly after returning from his mission to Argentina. He became a certified public accountant and worked for an international accounting firm and then at church headquarters. He was the Vice President for Administrative Services at BYU Hawaii for 2 years and has been the Administrative Vice President here on our campus for almost 11 years. Brother Farnsworth is married to Deborah Hume, and they are parents of 5 children. He has served broadly in the church and recently was released as a stake president. We will now be pleased to hear from Brother Brad Farnsworth.
Good morning. As I contemplated my theme for this talk, I was reminded of a clever cartoon that was published in the Daily Universe when I was a BYU student in the 1970s. It illustrated a part of our culture, the BYU experience, that we continue to share in 2005. The scene is the BYU campus. A BYU security officer is standing over a student who has been bloodied and bruised, apparently by several stones that lie next to him. The officer is dutifully taking careful notes. The caption reads, "And then I said, 'He who is without sin, let him cast the first stone.'" My recollection is that Elder Dallin H. Oaks, then president of BYU, referred to this cartoon in a devotional address. He regarded it as one of his favorite humorous entries in the Daily Universe. He reminded us that although we are not perfect, the standards we set at BYU are so unusual, even peculiar, that it's easy to let a spirit of self-righteousness appear on our campus. He also reminded us that it's all right to laugh at ourselves occasionally as we strive to live these standards. I have good memories of my BYU experience as a student. Ward activities, teaching at the MTC, intramural football games, challenging business classes, and weekly devotionals here in the Marriott Center. But I didn't really appreciate what BYU had offered until I had graduated and left the campus. Since returning to BYU in 1994, I've started to understand the unique opportunities offered to students that make this campus different from our peer institutions. In a campus devotional 7 years ago, President James E. Faust made the following statement: "Brigham Young University is a continuing experiment on whether an institution, the majority of whose trustees are prophets, seers, and revelators, can continue to be true to its trust by the world's changing standards and yet be a first-class university academically." End of quote. We indeed are part of a grand experiment as we study, work, and live on this campus. This morning I will discuss 3 observations about the BYU experience. And as we understand these points, hopefully we can appreciate and even enrich this experience we're sharing together. Observation number 1. Sacred tithing funds given by faithful members of the church are used to support the operation of this university. I believe this first observation is one of the reasons why this campus is holy ground. As we consecrate our efforts to your education and preparation for life after graduation. The Gospel of Mark in the New Testament teaches the doctrine of the widow's mite. "And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living." In 1985, President Gordon B. Hinckley, then second counselor in the first presidency, shared a devotional message on this campus entitled, The Widow's Mite. May I summarize some of his thoughts from that talk? President Hinckley begins, "Some time back, a small, bent, elderly woman came to my office. For the purpose of this talk, I shall call her Mary Olson. Although that is not her name, and she would not wish her identity disclosed. She said she had just come over from the temple. She took from her purse her checkbook. She said that she had been a widow for many years, that life had not been easy for her. She had a great love for the Lord and His church. She had faithfully paid her tithing all her life. She felt she would not live much longer. Now, she said, she felt she ought to be doing more to help than she had done. In a hand shaky with age, she wrote a check for $5,000. She handed it to me. I noted the address where she lived. It was in a poor neighborhood. I confess that as I looked at that check, tears came into my eyes. I have held many larger checks than that in my hands, but as I held the check of this widow, I was almost overcome by her faith and the seriousness of the trust that was mine in the expenditure of her consecrated contribution. She gives her offering to the Lord, and she is then released from responsibility. The responsibility then becomes mine and yours. What might she expect of you at this institution, which is supported by tithing funds?" President Hinckley then shares 5 points that he believes this faithful widow, Mary Olson, would expect of you as students of Brigham Young University. First, you will have a deep sense of gratitude and appreciation for the sacred funds of the church that are appropriated to operate this university. Second, you will save, protect, and do all you can to preserve these remarkable facilities that have cost so much. Third, you will experience an increase in faith and a strengthened knowledge of the things of God, and more particularly, of the restored gospel of Jesus Christ. Fourth, many of you will find your companions here. Fifth, you will better qualify yourselves to fill positions of responsibility in the world of which you will become a part. I've read this talk by President Hinckley many times. I often reflected upon the Mary Olsons whom I have met in my life. A poor widow in Argentina who lived in a humble house made of cinder block walls and a simple tile floor. Because she was faithful in paying her Argentine mites, the Spirit of the Lord was present in her home. A 6-year-old boy who came to his bishop sitting on the stand before sacrament meeting and handed him a tithing envelope. As the bishop felt a few coins in the envelope, he shook the young boy's hand. The young boy looked into the bishop's eyes and seemed to say, "Be careful with this money. This is a lot of money to me." A father and mother sitting in the bishop's office and committing to pay a full tithe so they can return to the temple sometime in the future. As they give the bishop an envelope of their first payment, their eyes seem to cry out, "Please reassure us that this is right. We barely have enough money for our young family. Are you sure the Lord will bless us?" All of us know one or two Mary Olsons in our lives. They are the humble and faithful members of the church who, despite their want, do cast in all that they have, even all their living, because they love the Lord and obey His commandments. Such are the funds that are used to operate this university. Do we really recognize and appreciate the sacrifice of Mary Olson and other faithful members of the church that allows you students to participate in the BYU experience? President Hinckley's invitation applies to all of us, students as well as faculty and staff. We should have a deep sense of gratitude and appreciation for the widow's mite. When I am filled with gratitude and appreciation, a spirit of humility is invited into my heart, and I am more ready to be taught and serve with the Spirit of the Lord. Although the amount of tithing funds appropriated to the university is significant, it's not as important for us to know the amount of such appropriations as it is for us to follow President Hinckley's counsel and receive these funds with a deep sense of gratitude and appreciation. I'm pleased to work with colleagues, both in Salt Lake City and on this campus, who have taught me over the years how to translate this gratitude and appreciation into an efficient use of funds. So what can you students do to show your gratitude and appreciation for these sacred funds? Talking to full-time missionaries in the Washington, D.C. area, President Hinckley stated, "If each of you is the kind of missionary your mother thinks you are, then you are all right." In a similar way, if each of you is the kind of student your mother or even your bishop thinks you are, then you are probably showing gratitude and appreciation for these sacred funds. I firmly believe that the brethren want BYU to offer you, the students, an excellent education. I also believe that adequate funds will always be available to fulfill that objective if we are wise and unselfish with our use of resources on this campus. May I comment briefly on one other point in President Hinckley's talk? He encouraged the students in 1985 to save, protect, and preserve the facilities on this campus. I believe his counsel continues to be heeded by many of you students today. Let me relate a recent experience. I was walking toward the Wilkinson Student Center last summer. A group of visitors had finished eating lunch, but not all of their garbage had been properly disposed of. A pile of trash was conspicuously in the patio area and needed to be removed. I reached down to grab an armful of boxes when I noticed a BYU co-ed next to me picking up the rest of the boxes. She looked at me and said with a smile, "Some of our visitors don't appreciate what it takes to keep this campus clean." I think her mother and bishop would be pleased with the kind of student she had become. Her action showed the gratitude and appreciation she had for the tithing funds allocated to BYU. As a matter of fact, a letter to the editor in this morning's Daily Universe reads, "BYU is a phenomenal school. Our facilities, faculty, and students are among the best in the world. What a privilege it is to attend such a school and receive a higher education. I personally hope that there is a spirit of gratitude in every student's heart and mind for the chance to be here." Adam Olson of Orem, I think you're getting it. My second observation is the great blessing we enjoy of having prophets, seers, and revelators lead the board of trustees of this institution. President J. Reuben Clark stated, "Some of the general authorities have had assigned to them a special calling. They possess a special gift. They are sustained as prophets, seers, and revelators, which gives them a special spiritual endowment in connection with their teaching of this people. They have the right, the power, and the authority to declare the mind and will of God to his people." End of quote. Elder Charles A. Callis of the Quorum of the Twelve once remarked, "The gift of discernment is an awesome burden to carry. To see clearly what is ahead and yet find members slow to respond or resistant to counsel or even rejecting the witness of the apostles and prophets brings deep sorrow." End of quote. Do we truly recognize and appreciate the blessing of having prophets, seers, and revelators preside over Brigham Young University? Are we prepared to listen with an open heart and apply their counsel in our lives without hesitation? BYU's Board of Trustees currently consists of the First Presidency, who are the board officers, 3 members of the Quorum of the 12, 1 of the Presidents of the 70, and the Presidents of the General Relief Society and Young Women. Through my assignment at BYU, I have occasionally attended meetings of the Board of Trustees or interacted with board members in other settings. It is my strong conviction that these men and women understand all aspects of higher education, and through their love for the young adults of the church, are very wise and diligent in this part of their stewardship. We will be blessed, both individually and as an institution, as we listen to and follow the counsel of our Board of Trustees, which is led by prophets, seers, and revelators. My third observation relates to why we faculty and staff elect to work at BYU. Those of us who serve on this campus do so because of the love we have for you students. Universities are traditionally known for developing close and personal relationships between a professor and a student, also referred to as student mentoring. BYU is no exception to this tradition. But the spirit of the gospel on this campus should enrich our mentoring experiences. When you graduate, you will most likely have a professor or perhaps a job supervisor who has made a difference in your life, not only in your academic preparation, but in broadening your perspective of life, enlightening your knowledge of the gospel, and preparing you for leadership positions in the future. As a student at BYU, I was blessed with caring mentors in the School of Business, the MTC, and my BYU ward. One such mentor was H. Verlin Anderson, who taught business law. I took business law classes from him. We had several good discussions in his office. 10 years after I graduated, I ran into Elder Anderson, then a general authority in Salt Lake City. I was a new bishop, and we began to chat. He invited me to his office. He then took an hour out of his busy schedule to offer counsel for me as a new bishop, a young father, and a former student. He had not forgotten me, and he remained interested in my success. Do you have a professor or job supervisor who is your mentor and friend as part of your BYU experience? Are you taking the initiative to develop such a relationship with these individuals who serve professionally on this campus? The aims of a BYU education suggest different ways in which student mentoring will offer you a total BYU experience. Quote, a BYU education should be spiritually strengthening, intellectually enlarging, and character building, leading to lifelong learning and service. End of quote. Our success as mentors is chiefly measured by your happiness and success as you strive to live gospel principles. Let me offer an example of how the aims of a BYU education affect the daily operations of this university. To my knowledge, BYU has more student employees than any other institution of higher education in the United States. This is by design. Not only does it provide you students the opportunity to pay for your education, but it also allows you to develop and nurture work ethic, leadership skills, a sense of responsibility, and an appreciation for the widow's mite we've previously discussed. During the fall and winter semesters, we employ over 12,000 students to operate this campus as library assistants, grounds workers, custodians, secretaries, research assistants, tutors, cafeteria workers, computer technicians, camera technicians, and the list goes on. This does not go unnoticed by visitors to our campus. Each year, quality assessment reviews are done in selected departments across campus, including my area of responsibility. These reviews include an individual from another university who is expert in that area. The outside observers often suggest that we are using students in positions that should be staffed by full-time professionals. You're asking these young people to do jobs that would be done better by those who are professionally trained and can offer continuous service of many years, they suggest. You're right, I usually respond, but we have a different mission at BYU that offers a complete educational experience for our students. We believe that with the proper training and supervision, our students can provide a service to this campus that will enhance our operation, while allowing them to build their character. Now, having such a large labor force of young adults on this campus does not go without challenges. However, as we reflect upon the mission statement of Brigham Young University, to assist individuals in their quest for perfection and eternal life, and as we listen to that still small voice within us, we remember the love that we have for you as students, and pledge to ourselves that we will exercise a little more patience, provide a little more training, and still strive for excellent service to this campus community. If you are a student employee, are you taking full advantage of the mentoring opportunities with your supervisor? With your permission, I would like to share a personal experience that helped me appreciate the joy of associating with you students. As I began my fourth year working on this campus, I felt a hollow commitment to my job. Everyone else on campus seemed thrilled to associate with the students. However, my experiences consisted of those students who were upset because they wanted an exception to policy or they were having problems with part of my area of responsibility. Looking back, I realized this was a very small group of students, but they were the only ones with whom I had personal interaction. I mentioned my feelings to a good friend, Larry Dahl, who was then Associate Dean of Religious Education. He replied, "Brad, what you need to do is teach a freshman Book of Mormon class." I remember reacting, "Yeah, that's just what I need, another thing to do." But after prayerful reflection, I accepted his invitation and taught my first class in the winter semester of 1998. I have taught this class every winter semester since. I'm beginning to appreciate the joy and satisfaction that comes from associating with you wonderful students. A specific memory occurred during my first semester of teaching. We were studying 3 Nephi chapter 11. And as we had done all semester, the students were taking turns reading aloud verses from our assigned reading. As you know, chapter 11 of 3 Nephi records the appearance of the resurrected Savior on the American continents. As we approached verse 15, it was the turn of a young freshman girl to read. I hardly knew her voice, since she sat in the back and was too shy to participate. She began reading, and it came to pass that the multitude went forth and thrust their hands into his side and did feel the prints of the nails in his hands and in his feet. And this they did do going forth one by one until they had all gone forth and did see with their eyes and did feel with their hands and did know of a surety and did bear record. Then she paused. She could no longer read. There was silence in the class. The other students and I recognized that the peaceful spirit of the Holy Ghost was manifesting to her that what she was reading really did happen. Our Savior did appear in the Western Hemisphere. The Book of Mormon was true. Several weeks later, I was grading the final exams. I came to the exam of this young freshman girl. On the last page, she had written, "Brother Farnsworth, thanks for asking me to read in 3 Nephi that day." I recognize that such experiences happen continually on this campus because of dedicated faculty and staff who enjoy their association with you students. Our Board of Trustees also has great love for the students of this institution. Perhaps their greatest display of love for you is to have one of their brethren, a general authority, preside over Brigham Young University. It is with no small sacrifice that the leaders of our church assign to this campus one of their most able leaders when there are so many pressing needs in the operation of the worldwide church. I hope that we show our appreciation for this love by praying for our president, Elder Cecil O. Samuelson, and his family during this wonderful but challenging assignment. May I share a lesson from the Book of Mormon? The prophet Alma and his missionary companions were faced with many afflictions, but these afflictions were swallowed up in the joy of Christ because Alma prayed in faith. In a similar way, we can lighten the load of our president. We can lighten the load of each other as we offer prayers of faith and express gratitude for the opportunity to learn and serve on this campus. I believe that a BYU education, now extended through three separate campuses, is like no other academic experience. My three observations of the BYU experience are: receiving sacred funds to operate this campus places us on holy ground. Prophets, seers, and revelators lead the Board of Trustees of Brigham Young University to show us the way if we are prepared to listen to and follow their counsel. Those of us who work at BYU are here because of our love for you students and our desire to prepare you for future service throughout the world. I pray that our hearts will be filled with a deep sense of gratitude and appreciation for these spiritual blessings as we share the BYU experience. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.